Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of 1 Kings. I'll be reading from chapter 22, verses 1 to 28. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the 3rd year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah the son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, made for himself horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so and said, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And when he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd." And the Lord said, "These have no master. Let each return to his home in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' And one said one thing, and another said another." And a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, "I will entice him." And the Lord said to him, "By what means?" And he said, "I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." And he said, "You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so." Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "How did the spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself." And the king of Israel said, "Seize Micaiah and take him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, hear, all you peoples. This is the word of God.
Thank you for reading God's word. Let us pray. Lord, you said in your word in Isaiah that what goes forth from your mouth will not return to you without accomplishing your purpose. So, Lord, as we listen to the interpretation of your word, indeed, Lord, may it stir our hearts, change and transform us, and will not be in void. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Youth Sunday, and I thought that this passage is appropriate to challenge not just the youths, but all of us as we listen. So what we're going to do is I'm going to dwell in the story to help us to understand the tone and what's really happening, and then we make a few applications. The story is about two kings, King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. Let's call him Joe. And they plot and they want to go for a war. They want to capture a piece of land. Now, right from the start, the biblical author seems to tell us that this is a very bad idea. He tells us, for 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. Verse 1. It's a very important information because it says, why are you going to war when you have peace? Perhaps Ahab feels compelled to strut his manliness to want to have a territory, to capture back a territory. So he induced Joe, his neighbor from the south, who came to visit him. Hey, Joe, will you want to go and fight with me? Now, Joe, imagine Joe in Ahab's kingdom, the courtroom, you know, so many people looking at him. He says, you know, sure, why not? I'm with you. All my people are with you. But Joe quickly think, you know, perhaps we should ask God, what does he think about this? And Ahab, there's no harm getting some spiritual support. But you realize in this story, Ahab has his own way of hearing God's will. He gathered 400 of his prophets. That's what the narrator tells us. And in verse 6, he puts a question before them. Shall I go to battle or shall I refrain? And all 400 with one voice say something like, go for it, the Lord is with you. Do it. Now, Joe was there and he felt something was probably amiss. He wants a 401 opinion, a second opinion. So he tells his friend, you know, perhaps we should find another voice. Now, by this time, we, the reader, as we follow the story, we should also be suspicious. How can 400 people sing the same tune as Ahab? So Joe suggested something like this, you know, Brother Ahab, perhaps we should have a second opinion or a 401 opinion. Is there another prophet that we could inquire? Ahab needed Joe's support. Chronicles tells us that Joe was a very wealthy king. And so he obliged. You know, there's one more called Micaiah. But that guy, he always throws the wet blanket. He never has something good to say about me. Now, we pick up something here. as a reader who is alert. You see, Ahab's idea of discerning God's will is to gather people who will agree with him. And those who do not have good things to say about him, they are party poopers, spoil sports. And so while we await for the arrival of Micaiah, we are entertained with a comedy. There's a comedy in this passage. Verses 10 to 12, Joe and Ahab sat on their thrones, and the author tells us they sat with their purple robes, very elaborated, looking all important. And then there's this 400 yes man. They put up a special performance for the king. The leader, Zedekiah, makes horns of iron, like an object lesson. And Zedekiah invoked God's name, "Thus says the Lord, with this you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the 400 prophets went along and sing something like this, we will rock you. But they didn't say exactly like this, but they say in verse 12 to the king, go to Ramoth Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give you, or hand this over to your hand. A very impressive show. It is like if someone wants you to believe in their cause, they do an emotional stunt. Come out with an object lesson. Perhaps today, circulate a video message on TikTok or YouTube. Throw in some smoke and special effects. Get 400 likes or maybe 4,000 likes. And everyone will think, this is true. We must support it. Now, while the 400 prophets were juicing up their kings in their ceremonial robes, a messenger caught hold of Micaiah. And look at the warning that the messenger told Micaiah in verse 13. He said something like this, "Hey, Micaiah, all 400 of your colleagues and friends are singing the same song. Go and learn the song, we will rock you. And if you know what is good for you, Micaiah, just go along, sing loud at the chorus." Micaiah arrived at the court scene or the worship service, and Ahab probably hoped that the messenger has done his job to warn Micaiah. And so he asked Micaiah, "Do we go for war or do we not?" And Micaiah said something like this in verse 15, "Sure, go rock the Syrians. God will see that you win." Micaiah was mocking the king. And Ahab got it. Ahab saw the sarcasm dripping down Micaiah's lips. Because this was Ahab's response to Micaiah. "How many times must I tell you, must I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Now, that's a very interesting statement coming from Ahab. He wants to know the truth. He wants to know God's word. And he knows that Micaiah is the only one that will honestly tell him what is God's word. But the question is, will Ahab accept God's word? Well, since the king asked, then Micaiah gave him a picture. "I see all your soldiers scattered at the mountain, like sheep without shepherds." Now, no commander wants to see that picture. The sheep scattered at the mountain. It means that everybody is running, the war is lost. A sheep without shepherd. What happened to the shepherd? The point that Micaiah wants to tell Ahab is this: if you go to war, you will lose and you will die. And then in verses 19 to 23, Micaiah followed up with a vision. And the point of that vision is all your so-called 400 prophets are liars. They don't speak the word of God. The story goes on to tell us that Ahab was not able to accept God's word. He cannot accept this truth. He went ahead with his desire. And if you read the rest of the chapter, right up to verse 40, what Micaiah said came to pass. Ahab's troops scattered, and Ahab died at the battle. Brothers and sisters, why did the Holy Spirit inspire this passage to be written for us today? What does the Lord want us to learn from His word in 1 Kings 22? I'd like us to examine the attitude and the actions of the three main characters, Ahab, Jehoshaphat, and Micaiah. All three had something in common. They all want to know the word of God. They want to know the truth. And as we listen to these three characters, how these three characters approach the word of God, I'd like us to consider and reflect which of these characters best represent us today. What is the Lord challenging us? First, Ahab. You see, Ahab's idea of listening to God's will is to gather those who will say what he wants to hear, what he likes to hear. And we, the reader, know by common sense that this whole 400 and that worship service that Ahab put together was staged. Ahab's idea of obedience is, I will only obey if it sounds comfortable to me. In fact, he has already made up his mind what he wants to do. His desire is to go for war. He's not prepared to listen to what other opinion might be, even though it is the word of God. And so Ahab surrounds himself with people pleasers who will tell him what he will hear, what he likes to hear. You know, like Ahab, we can choose to hear what we have already decided to do. Prayer, seeking the Lord, talking to people, they are just to get some spiritual support, but deep down, we already made our mind what we want to do. So God is more like a rubber stamp for the decisions that we have already made. That's Ahab. And there are consequences when we choose to ignore God's word and follow our desire. If you read verses 29 to 40 on your own, the two kings went ahead with their desire. They went for war. A random arrow hit the in-between sections of Ahab's armor. And in verse 35, Ahab was propped on his chariot facing his enemy, the Syrians. He was supported against something, perhaps to give the show that he is still in control. But deep down, he is bleeding to his death. You know, it's an honorable thing to die for your country, even though you have lost a war. But that was not the honor that was credited to Ahab. Look at how the biblical author describes his death at the end of the chapter. He says this in verse 38. And they washed the chariot, referring to Ahab's chariot, by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and where prostitutes washed themselves, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken. Ahab faced the consequences. Micaiah's prophecy came true. Dogs licked up his blood. That's not the way we want to die. So Ahab did not die a warrior's death, a warrior's honor. His life will be washed down in history with great shame and dishonor. So the biblical author is highlighting to us that this is the eventual state of the one who tries to manipulate God's word and did not obey. Their lives will be exposed in shame. So my friends, don't envy bullies like Ahab, who seems to get away with doing the wrong things, who seems to get great support for doing the wrong thing. Eventually, they will face God's judgment. And for us to reflect, in our search for decisions in life, do we turn to what God says first, or are we bent to follow our desire? It is God's will be done, not my will be done. That's Ahab. Now let's take a look at the next character, King Jehoshaphat. King Joe was actually a very godly king. In the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, he is one of the good kings who initiated reforms and renewal in his kingdom. Unfortunately, in this incident, he slipped because he was influenced by an ungodly king. You know, credit must be given to Joe. Joe sensed that something was wrong. These 400 people cannot be. I want a second opinion. And so he asked a very good question. Is there another prophet of the Lord, L-O-R-D, of Yahweh? He wants to hear from God's word. He desired that. But unfortunately, after hearing from what Yahweh says through Micaiah, evidently, Joe did not follow up. Perhaps he was under great pressure, peer pressure, to say no. At the end of the day, Joe had to also run in shame from the battle. Now we look at Ahab, we look at Joe. Ahab had no intention to listen to God's word. He already made up his mind what he wants to do. He surrounds himself with people pleasers to tell him what he likes to hear and not the truth. Joe knew God's word, but went along with the masses. It was a costly decision. He brought his nation into war for nothing and suffered great defeat. How do we discern God's will today? I was having lunch with a youth 2 weeks back, and he asked me, do we need to seek God's will in every matter, like daily matters, like, you know, how we spend the day, how we eat, what we eat, and things like that? My quick answer to him is that, you know, God has given us freedom and wisdom to discern the daily matters. There's no real very special need to pray for 1 hour before what you eat or something like that. exercise wisdom and prudence, accept them with thanksgiving. One basic principle regarding the activities of your life is the activities that you and your friend want to do in line with Scripture. Would God have approved of it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 has a very important principle. Your body is the temple of the Lord. What does it mean? God's Spirit resides in us. How we live in the body matters. The things that we do in our daily action matters to God. Your body is sacred. That is what it means. Your body is the Lord's temple. And so we don't do things that compromise our Christian beliefs. For major decisions, like job change, big financial ticket, relationship issues, three things work for me in the course of time. And one thing is for me what works and is important. Let the word of God speak over a period of time. You see, the Holy Spirit can move our hearts to sense what is God's will for us through the written word, through the spoken word. It can happen through a sermon, a quiet time devotion, a conversation with a brother or a sister. Be alert. But to hear God's voice means that we need to have a good diet of God's word. If our diet of God's word is so limited, then we give very little room for the Holy Spirit to work in us, to bring the truth to our minds. And you pray. Second, you pray. Prayer is also depending on God. It's not just asking for our needs. And many a times when I pray, I had this in mind, I pray according to, and I realized that I'm praying according to my will. But in the course of prayer, God's changed the prayer along the way. I no longer pray according to what I want, but God, what is it that you want? And the prayer directs you to what God's will is. Third, and that is very important, seek the counsel of others. And don't look for the 400 that will tell you what you like to hear. Look for the Micaiahs, those who love you enough to tell you the truth. So dwell in God's word. Pray. Seek the wisdom of others. We come to the final character, Micaiah. You know, Micaiah is the sort of person that will not get birthday invitations. They are the party poopers. Everyone dances to Ahab's music. But Micaiah is the sort that will go there and stop the music and say to everybody, it's time to go home. But you mentioned the name Micaiah, and everyone knows that this is the man of God. He carries God's word, a man of integrity and faith. Micaiah reminds me of an account when I was in the army. One of the commanders told me there's a Christian in his platoon. He do not know what to do with it, with him. The whole platoon don't like him. Because whenever the platoon does something wrong or they lost an equipment, they will try to cover up. But this Christian will tell the truth. When the commander asks what happened, the Christian will tell the truth. And he kind of get everybody into trouble. So everyone thinks he is a Sabo king. But however, when there's a run or an outside activity, and the commander says, okay, you find one representative to keep all your valuables, everybody turned their valuables to this Christian. He's the only one they could trust. Micaiah has something that the kings and the 400 did not have. Courage, moral courage, Moral, to understand what is right and wrong. Courage, to stand up for God's truth. Can you imagine the peer pressure that Micaiah was surrounded? 400 of his friends and colleagues that are against him. That's a lot of peer pressure to deal with. But Micaiah shows that he is not for sale. He demonstrated moral courage to hold fast to God's word and to stand against the pressure to conform. Now the question is, how come? Where did Micaiah got his courage from? How is it that he knows God's word and God's will? There is one verse that stands out for me in this passage. And it's the way that Micaiah answers the messenger. And in this one verse, it tells a lot about Micaiah's relationship with God. So on the screen, Micaiah says, "As long as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." It tells that Micaiah knows his God. He knows God's word. He must have knowledge of who God is, what God's word is in this situation. And his courage stems out of his relationship with God. You know, in my interaction with some Christians, many desire to know God's word. But when I ask, so how much of God's word are you reading? I often get a blank look. No, friends, if you want to know someone, especially someone you like, we spend a lot of effort getting to know this person, don't we? We're interested to know what he likes, what she don't like. And we don't want to just know the fact, we want something deeper. A relationship. So we build relationship with this person, we spend time, we have deep conversations, we go out, have extended time. That's how we get to know someone. And that's how we get to know God. The New Testament often uses these phrases: walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Galatians 3 tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. And God has given us three wonderful gifts. We have Jesus who secured our salvation. We have the Word of God to guide us. And we have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us. So with these three wonderful gifts, God has given whatever it takes for us to know him. But the question is, will we give whatever it takes to know him? Moral courage stems out of a deep communion with God. And as you listen to this sermon, I believe that God wants us to rise like Micaiah's in our generation, to know him deeply, to stand against the issue that we face. Sometime back, I was reading an article, a newspaper article. More and more teenagers are starting to drink alcohol right at the start of age 13. And the figures of alcohol abuse is on the rise. But you see, the problem don't just stop at alcohol abuse. It leads on to health issues and other social issues. Sometime last week, a friend was showing me a picture of a bottled drink, like a beer bottle. But he was telling me, this is cannabis-infused drink. In Thailand, they have legalized cannabis for consumption. It's very easy in our environment, you know, to just go for a holiday and try out something like this. What does moral courage mean in a situation like this? What does it mean to know your God, His word, and what He wants you to do? Popular opinions are advocating an alternate lifestyle, and this should be the norm and the practice of society. Messengers will come beside you and say, you know, everybody says this is good, sing along. The Micaiahs of today know their God, know their word. They know what to do with moral courage. Obey the Lord in wisdom. There are other situations in our life that will call for moral courage. When you see your friend being mocked and bullied over social media, do you join the 400 or would you rise to care for the broken? Will you care for those with special needs, your classmate? Will you rise against being feared of being labeled or the fear of missing out to do what you know God puts upon your heart? Brothers and sisters, God do not want us to be popular. God wants us to rise with moral courage. Micaiah lived for the audience of one, God Himself. And there's a cost when you follow God this way, when you follow Christ Jesus this way. In the story, Micaiah was slapped by his colleague. The king threw him in prison. I hope we don't face such extreme, but the point is that when you stand up for God and you stand up for His truth, there will be persecution. There will be humiliation. But you can be sure about this, that God will honor you as He did for Micaiah. And the Ahabs, God will deal with them. The story ends with Ahab's shameful death, Jehoshaphat running in shame, no longer in his elaborated coat or whatsoever, running in the battlefield. Zedekiah, who slapped Micaiah, end up hiding in fear in the inner room, as Micaiah prophesied that is what's going to happen to him. And Micaiah, each time the church turns to 1 Kings 22, we read how God is glorified through this prophet. And Micaiah is honored as the one who hold fast to God's word and stood up against the pressure to conform. My friends, brothers and sisters, may we rise as the Micaiah, and glorify our Lord. Let us pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. We pray, Lord, give us courage to know your word, to know you, and to live it out. And to exhibit moral courage in situations around us that we may glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.